Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot. Just like the fajita. I write what I live. My life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow. Just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam. I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reppin'. I know we left here, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah, I'm a bright young man. Kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on. So say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae. From the A train to the A, I'm coming in. I don't do.
I don't do the most. Coming hot. Coming hot. What up, Kia?
Hey,
up, Elliot?
What?
Yo,
you know, Elliot. You don't get to go first, sir. I'm sorry. Where the hell you been, Elliot? Where you been? You think because you didn't...
Say what?
So I'm going to cut you off, sir. You don't get to go first. You think because... You done went and had a whole birthday and got older on people, that you're a young 35 now. You can just come and go as you please. Me and Kia, we are tired of this, all right? We need you to stick around.
You gotta take it up with them family, man. Family, you know what I'm saying? But, yo, for real, that, we had this all done, man. This, we had everything paid and everything in order, way before we even started any of it. It's so crazy because even my job was like, yeah, you're going on vacation already? I'm like, look, that was part of the hiring process. If you couldn't let me get these days, I would walk. Yeah. Like,
well, now, bro, happy birthday, man.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
it
we still had both of you like five times last week.
Yo, hey, look, and I appreciate it. That's what I tell you, because it was a really – really crazy day. Like, you know what I'm saying? My wife, she did the best she could to make it a really good day for me, man. When I tell you, though, going on vacation and trying to enjoy your birthday at the same time with two little kids, that's not a really good idea. The whole day, yo, the whole day, my two little boys complained about everything we did. Everything. And all I wanted to do, for real, was go to this one little gun shop, check out what they had, see what I could probably, you know what I'm saying, purchase. You know what I mean? Like, everything. Like, I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm okay. I was in Tennessee, and there was this place where you could actually forge your own knife. Yo, I was in heaven. Like, oh, my God. I can create my own tactical knife. Yeah. But I didn't get to do it because the kid, like I said, you know, the kids, man, all they cared about was going back to the villa and going in the pool. I don't want to be here. Why we got to go there? That was the whole thing. I was like, oh, my gosh, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Note to self, next time I do a vacation and birthday together, we got to have plans for where the little boys got to go or something, you know? Because that was hard. I was like, man, like, I'm just trying to enjoy my birthday. And they didn't care. They was like, nah, we on vacation too, and this ain't about your birthday. That's the impression I got from the two of them. Like, we don't care. Like, we want to go back to the pool. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to. But anyway, Pigeon Forge, if y'all haven't been there, I'm telling you, you need to check that place out.
We love Pigeon Forge over here.
Yo, that place.
Never heard
man,
of it.
I was like, yo, for real, I'm telling you, D, for real, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like, it's a whole other type of green in Tennessee. I'm not going to lie to you. the mountains, the, you know, just the morning views of the you know what I'm saying, the mountain view, you know what I mean, the Smoky Mountains. That's what they, you know, that's the whole theme out there, Smoky Mountains. You see that everywhere. But you wake up, man, and the mountains, there's clouds over the mountains. It's just beautiful, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna tell you the truth. You know, being from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I'm used to culture. So I'm used to, you know what I'm saying, you know, white, black, Hispanic, Chinese, Asian, whatever, right? It was not a lot of that in Pigeon Forge. I'm just letting y'all know the truth. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I felt culturally out of place. But being that I was a Marine, I know how to adapt and overcome. You feel me? So I still enjoy
right.
myself. I didn't let anybody, I straight up, I didn't let nobody make me feel uncomfortable. I didn't, you know, when we went somewhere and we wanted help or we wanted service, hey, can I get you, you know, I need your help with something. I'm not, you might be uncomfortable with my skin color, but I'm not uncomfortable with yours. You know what I mean? So let's keep it moving. You know, I'm here to give you business. If you don't want the business, then we'll go somewhere else. So that's how I was, man. And we went into that gun store, Buzz Gun Shop in Tennessee. I forget the name of the area that it's in, though. It wasn't Pigeon Forge, but it's like right outside of that. They weren't very pleasant, but I didn't care. I went in there and got what I wanted. They sold it to me. I was good. No problems. You feel me? That's like,
I know that's right.
I don't really care, man.
We're glad you enjoyed your birthday, man. We were shouting you out all day, all show. So happy birthday, birthday.
Hey,
we know what you done did. Kia, how was your week? How was your last 7 days since we last spoke?
Oh, it's always busy for Kia, so.
That should be a segment, always busy for Kia. I like that.
Always busy for Kia. Yeah, she is always busy, you know, trying to, you know, do what I do.
I'm just busy.
You said, what, Elliot?
Make me laugh. I said, those text messages you send be making me laugh. You're like, yo, she dealing with a whole lot of craziness.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, she's always
I got to make y'all laugh, you know.
That's hilarious.
Did she tell you that she?
Yeah, so you know, doing what I always do. What about you, Dwayne? What you do for the last 7 days?
Oh no, I was about to tell Ida that you're the queen of Groupon. Like she's crushing Groupon sales right now. Like
that's why Groupon giving me such a hard time. Kia then cornered the market.
Paid them off.
Dwayne, don't be telling my secret. Dwayne, don't be telling my secret.
I know, and they're like, no, you're not Kia. What's your affiliation? I was like, what?
Dwayne, don't be telling my secrets. I knew it. Because I went on Groupon. I did everything they asked me to do. No lie. I sent them all my information, everything. You know them cats sent me an email two days before my birthday. They said, being that you didn't send us all the information we asked for, we're going to reject your offer. I was like, what? And I'm looking at the email, and I'm like,
But you forgot, I told y'all that they do that.
They responded to the email.
Yeah.
They responded to the email that had everything
with
they
the stuff attached. Right. They did it to me two times.
Yeah. But Kia got that direct number. She got that direct number. That's what it is.
I know.
Nah.
Kia got that persistent.
For those that are listening, I would definitely say check out Point Blank Firearms on Groupon, y'all. Y'all definitely gonna have incredible
first
time
of all, Dwayne.
The program. What you trying
Dwayne.
To still figure out? No, no.
Dwayne,
to share that?
Cut
yeah,
it
I'm
out.
I'm so excited over what you be doing. I'm sorry.
Cut it out, Dwayne.
Kia asked me what I'm doing. What's my week been like? My week's been kind of cool. I got to spend some time. I have two of my nephews here. My nephew's in California, still hanging out with them. My nephew's from New York. He's been here now 2-3 weeks, something like that. So he's getting to see, like, you know, I guess my mini arsenal, and he's just like, what? Why do you have that? But now he kind of – it went from why do you have that, because he's from New York, to why is that not legal in New York? Why is it – you know, he's changing the tone, like, hey –
yeah.
Why
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
this allowed in New York? And it's not like, you know, it's kind of, I believe, like seeing me and how I embrace firearms and the people I talk to embrace firearms, it's kind of a positive outlook. So I'm kind of happy to kind of see that, you know, he's getting to see another black person, you know, around firearms in a positive way. I'm not going out there swinging my firearm, saying, hey, I got a gun, check this out, man, I'll bust you in the face, all that crazy talk that they, you know, that
right.
they say that we do when we own a gun. So I'm glad to be a part of some kind of positive influence when it comes down to things. So that's definitely one of my big goals is changing the narrative, controlling the narrative, you know. He went out and shot with me yesterday. And he did phenomenal. A kid from New York, he did phenomenal. He's 14, like 6'4", something like that. He's a giant. And so he might need to partner with you on that football. He plays football. He thinks he's a quarterback. But, you know, but he's 6'4", 14. But, you know, he likes it. But either way, you know, I'm going to stop rambling. No, it's been a good weekend. Trying to
That's
get out
cool,
there
man.
On the Zach Tactical private range and clear some stuff out to make it more appealing for, you know, my students. And, you know, hopefully I can do something with you two lovely instructors in the future once everything is all set in stone and everything. So, but
we
for this show, we got some good things to talk about, folks. We're gonna keep it in the realm of safety. You know, it's June Firearm Safety Awareness. So we're not going to go away from that. But, you know, folks, what's our motto? Our motto is to be responsible. You have to be informed. So we would not be responsible people in this Second Amendment community if we were not keeping y'all informed. So, boy, do we got some stuff to go over with y'all today.
Oh, yeah.
What do y'all want to hit them first? Y'all want to hit them with the safety and then keep it trucking and go on to the other pressing matters? Or you want to touch with that and close out with safety? What say y'all?
Either way.
No, either way.
I
mean, safety, you know, start off with, you know, the month is about safety. Let's start off with safety, and then we could also end with, a safety segment. We could hit them with, let's go over those safety rules, you know what I'm saying, rules of awareness and all that good stuff. Yeah, because I hit all those things in both classes I had this weekend, and I'm telling you, like, it was just awesome because one of the things that during this class, the close quarters engagement class that I didn't realize was the difference between self-defense on the street and self-defense in your home. So
right.
I was really, you know what I'm saying, because what we do in the military is not necessarily self-defense, if you think about it. You feel me? It's engagement. Like, we're looking for a target, so we're operating with that mindset. But in your home, you know what I'm saying, you have to go through, because there's something that I introduced to everyone called the OODA loop. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the OODA loop. It's spelled OODA, right? And it has four. It's a 360 degree circle of pretty much engagement. And a lot of the police officers and law enforcement, military, they use this training module where it starts with observing, orient, decide, and then act. So, you know, those are things that I introduced to this class, and they would, you know, the funny thing about the class, you know, we went over all the safety rules and everything, but they couldn't get out of the range mentality. You get what I'm saying?
Big difference between the two of those.
Yeah. So there were a lot of things that was unsafe that they were doing, you know what I'm saying, if there was a threat. I spent a lot of time, you know, talking to them about, hey, you know, you don't want to use a flashlight the whole time you're trying to, you know what I'm saying, walk through your house looking for a threat. But to back up, I also stated, you know what I'm saying, we observe that there's a threat, but we want to figure out where the threat is and should I engage? You feel what I'm saying? Now we move into decision.
Yep.
Because this is about safety.
Right.
Should I engage because there's a threat in my house, or should I just call law enforcement and get out or stay bunkered wherever I am? These are all things I went over in that class. And great conversations, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, their mindset was, well, we're all really good shooters. And I'm like, yeah. But when there's a possibility that that target can shoot back, then what? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that has to be a part of the decision and then act phase. You know what I'm saying? Am I going to go downstairs and engage this target? And it's a possibility that they are here to, you know what I'm saying, with the mindset of actually causing me harm. Because another thing I pointed out, too, as far as safety, we went over the 5 D's, right, of you know what I'm saying, of home invasion, right? I was like, yo, if you weren't able to deter them or, you know what I'm saying, you know, any of the other ones, the possibility is that they are desperate enough that if you catch them in the act, knowing that you're home, that they're going to try to hurt you. So these are things you have to think about as far as safety. Am I willing to go downstairs and face this, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. No, and you know, it's another thing, too, because I love those kind of conversations, E, because I think there's a huge difference between range mentality and, hey, why do you really have your gun, which is defensive, and defensive outside and defensive inside the home is different. You know, I tell my students all the time, look, at the range, you're trying to hit bullseye. You know, that's a thing. Bullseye, hit that little circle right there. So you're actually working on marksmanship skills, which is great, but you have to be realistic that when you push that target 40 feet out, 25 feet out, anything beyond that 21 foot, is that a realistic when you say, hey, I can shoot spot on? Because the reality is you have your firearm for self-defense. Are you dry firing by drawing how you normally carry? You carry appendix style.
Right.
Are you practicing in front of the mirror? Hey, lift my shirt from the center of my chest, pull up, draw. Okay, let me change that. Are you practicing that? Because if you're not, and you tell me, hey, I can hit a dime. I can hit a dime from 30 feet away. That don't mean nothing if you don't know how to draw your firearm. You know, that don't mean nothing if you don't practice engaging the safety. Because guess what? Those static targets, they're not shooting back at you. They're not popping up when you least expect it, you know? And then on top of that, you don't have to worry about what's beyond that target. You miss, you miss. When you're in your home, you know, you go downstairs, like, you hit it right on the head, bro. Like, do you engage or do you try to avoid?
Right. When,
or do you bunker down? You have three choices to make, you know? And let's say you see a target and you're like, I'm going to engage because it's a clean shot. Well, what's behind the target? What's behind that threat?
Yeah.
The kid's room? Did you think?
Yeah.
You know? So there's so much different things. I'm glad you're teaching that class. I'll go ahead and share with the listeners, though, like, you know, how they can get in contact with you to take that class. But I think that's a very important class for our community.
It's very, very important.
Yeah, so definitely any of you can find me on the USTCA website. You actually, which I did while I was on vacation, just being nosy, I typed my name in through Google, and then it came up, you know what I'm saying, with some of my coaching information, and then, of course, my firearm instruction information. Yeah, I thought that was so crazy. Yeah.
Okay.
If you type in 610 Tactical Solutions on Google, all of my information pops right up. It would be the first
thing.
Hear
that.
I thought that was awesome.
I was Googling Elliot. That's what I was. You're not cool. If you Google me, folks, Dwayne Haynes, I pop up, all right? All right, don't worry about what I pop up for, all right? No, I'm just teasing, y'all. I'm just teasing. Definitely Google Tactical. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. So you can, firearm instruction. If you're looking for firearm instruction, go to it'll give you NRA, it'll give you USCCA. You'll be able to find it.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? And close quarter engagement, you know what I'm saying, close quarter defense, whichever you want to call it. I call it close quarter engagement. These things are important in our homes, and there are decisions that have to be made because we're talking about safety. We went through scenarios on what would make me go and defend my, you know, what would make me go upstairs or downstairs actually, you know what I'm saying? And we went over those type of scenarios. If my children, my two little boys, they love to sleep in the living room. I don't know why that is. They got their own room.
My son loves to sleep in the living room.
But if I hear a bump in the night, because I know they're not close to me, you know what I'm saying? Their room's right next door, but they want to sleep in the living room. I'm going to go and I'm going to inspect. You see what I'm saying? Where if they were in their room, I may not be as like, I might not, you know what I'm saying? I might not. Now, I'm saying I might not, and I'm going to tell y'all, everybody, the truth. If you
would
dare kick in my door, just know I'm coming for you. So I'm just telling the truth. You got a better chance of trying to steal my car. I ain't going to come after you. You feel what I'm saying? But if you kick in my door, it's going to be a bad day for you. That's just all the truth. But I try to get people, I'll do the class, I want you to think about it, like the whole OODA loop process. You know what I'm saying? Observe, right? Is this something I want? Did I just hear what I think I hear? I think I heard. Now I have to orient myself with the situation. Is it in the living room? Possibly in the living room. Could it be in my you know, could it be my daughter? Could it be my drunk uncle that just broke the window because he's trying to find somewhere to sleep again? You know what I'm saying? What could the situation be? Then I have to make a decision whether or not I'm just going to call the cops, bunker down, or I'm going to go ahead and engage. Once I make the decision, now it's the act. I have to put it into action. So.
Yeah,
that's where you can find me,
y'all. I love that. So I got something that folks definitely go and check out Elliot's course, check out his page. But I want to throw something. I'm going to add to the whole safety, right? So here's a cool – not cool, because I don't like hearing people get hurt, but here's a story. So a Massachusetts team up in that area up there, permanently paralyzed after – friend accidentally shoots him while showing off new gun. So it says, I'm not going to put his name, but teen, 19 years old, was shot in the neck at his friend's home Saturday afternoon. Friend, and here's what the friend said, right? And then once I'm finished this, I want you all to dive in. And as an instructor, when you go over those 5-4 rules, where do you think, you know, throw in your thoughts, right? On what you think they could have done to avoid that. So here's what was said. He was showing off his friend, right? And the bullet hit him in the neck, severing parts of his spinal cord. And so he's permanently paralyzed now in a wheelchair. So it says the name was showing off the newly acquired handgun unintentionally discharged, which struck the victim in the neck, right? He said he thought he had unloaded it or made it safe, a very, very poor decision that in a matter of seconds, both lives tragically changed. So, accidental discharge. Sometimes they just hit the floor, they hit the wall, no harm, no foul, right? We know exactly where that bullet landed. Depending on where you live, cops may show up, cops may not show up. It all depends on the round and all this other junk. But there's those times that you hear too much in the news where that round didn't hit something and just stopped. It hit a person. In this case, it hit a 19-year-old. So what do y'all think? What are some things that when you hear something like this, where do you think some of those rules, what do you think was some of the rules were broken? Go ahead. What rule do you think was broken?
Every one of them.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean, for like the listener, we know the rules, but for our listeners, you know, hit me with those rules. Hit us with those rules. I don't know what rules is broken. I'm a brand new person to a gun. The first thing I'm going to say is,
all right,
we don't need guns in the home. They need to – I'm going to just throw a name out. That was a high point. That was a high point. We need to write high point. So you don't have to throw it out there. We need to contact the manufacturer and say, the Taurus stepped it up, all right? I know I saw that. I'm not going to share what you shared with me about the Taurus. But, you know, a lot of times – the parent gets so mad at the manufacturer of the gun and say, hey, you, I'm suing you. So that's what I'm telling you two right now. I'm mad. My kid just got shot in the neck. What do you tell me?
Yo,
how could this have been prevented?
Treat, never keep, keep. Treat every weapon as if it were loaded. Never point the weapon at anything that you don't intend to destroy or kill, right?
Know your target and what's beyond.
Keep off the trigger. Right? Yeah. I'm going over the rules here because you sound like you got the NRA rules. I'm gonna hit you with the 6-10 tactical rules.
No.
But
You know what I'm saying? And then keep the weapon on safe until you intend to fire. But the last two ones should never – you shouldn't even be at that point when you're demonstrating a firearm. Like, you know what I'm saying? First off, anytime I show a friend a firearm that I have, right, I don't touch the weapon until I'm actually ready to let them touch it. But in the process,
okay,
I use it as a teaching lesson. I want to show them how to, you know what I'm saying, unload the weapon properly and safely. Then I inspect it in front of them and then let them inspect it so they know. You get what I'm saying? Then before they hand me that weapon back, I ask them to go through the steps. Some people get some free lessons. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? I use it as a little teaching point. Like, okay, hey, yeah, check that out. Because truth be told, everyone doesn't know how to handle a firearm. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I have a lady that I train. Well, I trained her once, and she came. She said, "Miss Wakia," she's like, "let me tell you what happened to me." I was like, "Okay." And she said, "Oh, my friend and I was doing dry fire, and we shot the freezer. They didn't make sure that the chamber, the they didn't make sure they couldn't chamber. So that's why, hence me reposting that video the other day about how to make sure," which I drill that into everyone's head, but, you know, people don't listen.
Yeah.
So ensuring that your chamber is clear is so important. And safety, because, you know, you remove your magazine, you think everything is good, and you should be clearing that chamber. And I tell my classes, every class I teach, I tell them when I get ready to show them a firearm, I say, if you're ever in a class, whether it's my class or any other instructor, I say, if for whatever reason, if they're showing a firearm and they don't show you that it's clear and get someone to verify it that it's clear, then you should get up and walk out, because it's a dangerous instructor, because you should, every time, it should be every, not some of the time, not one or two times, every single time you pull that firearm out to demonstrate, someone should be checking to make sure that it's clear every time.
Yeah.
100%.
There's this video. I don't remember how old it is, and I've seen it on YouTube. And I'm going to bring it up only because we have a lot of professionals, I'm air quoting right now when I say professionals, that's out there that's spreading bad messages to our community, right? Or they're not practicing what they preach. And just like Kia said, if you're in a class and they're not practicing what they teach, walk out. So in this video, it was a cop, black dude, and he was teaching a class of students. And he's up front talking about some Glock or whatever. He's like, "Do y'all know what gun this is?" And nobody said nothing. He said, "Yeah, you know, this is something that E-40 and Too Short and Snoop Dogg and rappers make popular. They talk about this gun all the time. But I'm going to tell y'all one thing right now. None of those rappers can handle this gun as safe as I can. I'm here to teach you."
Yeah.
Bang. The gun goes bang.
He shot himself in the foot.
And the crazy thing is, can you imagine? So for me, he's law enforcement. He's at a school. And as a parent, all three of us that are into firearms, we hear law enforcement. Well, me personally, you hear law enforcement is coming to the school to teach the kids about firearm safety. I'm like, hell yeah. I think that's important. I'm not expecting them to show no live gun. I'm expecting if they do show a gun, it's the yellow safety, red, blue, whatever safety guns, right? So the crazy part is your kid could have, a shot was discharged. Your kid could have been shot while you're at home in a safety class being taught by law enforcement. So I'm not saying this isn't to single out law enforcement. It's just saying there are people out there that we look to as professionals, as a community. A lot of times we say they're law enforcement, they're prior military, they're current military. Oh, they're an instructor for the last 10 to 15 years. And we put their accolades and their status and their tenure before how they really are. Don't do that, guys. Don't do that. If you are with an instructor or someone at a range and you're seeing something and they're not executing proper common sense around a firearm, leave. Me personally, I'm going to say, "Hey, ma'am, sir, your finger's on the trigger. wrong direction. Don't flag. We're in a room full of people that may look at you as a threat. But if that craziness continues, I don't care how much I pay for that rain stay, I'm going to go ahead and exit that situation because I don't need no part of it. So, no, I think those are good call-out, guys. Definitely a good call-out because this poor kid is now paralyzed. And both of y'all said this in the last, I want to say the last two or three conversations around gun safety. It's never about your kid. All our kids know how to use firearms. They know the safety around firearms. It's that neighbor, right? And this is exactly proof right here. He didn't shoot himself. Your son went over to a friend's house and was shot.
So, like I said, everyone doesn't know how, you know what I'm saying? But see, in a situation like that, and we prayerfully would want, we want to believe that, that what we're educating our children with, I don't know if you guys have seen the, it's a little video on, I've seen it, a lot of different NRA and USCCA ads where Will Smith is standing there with the production team of the media team of Bad Boys.
Bad Boys,
and, one of the guys picks up the firearm. Now, we know that these are all props, but one of them picks up the firearm, and Will Smith slaps it down, takes it out of his hand, clears it, you know what I'm saying, and then hands it to the guy. And then, you know what I'm saying? And I was just like, yo, see, Will Smith, you already was one of my favorite actors, but that right there, you're a bad boy to me. You feel me? Like, that was, that was mad cool, because I was like, yo, here's this actor taking gun safety to the, to, you know what I'm saying, where it's supposed to be at all times, even though he knew none of those firearms should have been loaded.
Yeah, but you know what that means, though? That means he probably shoots for real. That's probably what that means.
Oh, no question.
He probably shoots for real.
No question. So you know when he played Deadshot on the movie, he played Deadshot on that movie. Oh, God, what's the name of that movie, man?
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. I saw an interview where he was saying he had fallen in love with shooting because of that movie. You know what I'm saying? So
I can see
he takes it serious. But again, Will Smith has always been one of those type of actors that he completely submerges himself in whatever he's doing. So I appreciate about it. I'm going to say it again. Will Smith, in case somebody knows him that's listening, let them know we love him over here at Point
I'll
Blank.
I'll shoot him a text, bro.
Yes, we do.
I'll shoot him a text.
Yeah, handle business.
Folks, we have a caller, and the number is all one, so I think that might be Sarge.
You know it is.
A caller,
so you're going to play the lottery now, aren't you? Because you hit it right.
There you go.
What's going
hey,
on,
man,
Sarge?
Much wisdom. I appreciate you putting it out there. And, you know, I remember very well the video of that. He was a drug enforcement agent teaching that class. I got that video. I saved that video on my files to show it to people, what being an arrogant dumbass will get for
oh,
you.
Oh, my God.
And when you were talking about the Will Smith, that brought to mind an actor named John Eric Hexum, who literally killed himself on set with the .357 Magnum prop loaded with a high-powered Hollywood blank, playing around like he was going to commit suicide. And he literally put it to his head, fired, and naturally, as you know, at point-blank distance, there is more than enough force in that blank to propel that charge right through your skull and your brain, and it's exactly what killed him. He had a promising career, too. Look him up, John Eric Hexum.
Wow.
That's almost as bad as a story that happened to Brandon Lee. You know what happened to Brandon Lee on the set, don't you?
Yeah, we definitely know about that.
Oh, yeah.
That in our training module. Yeah.
Right. And I used to tell my students, you know, when I as a teaching technique, I would tell them at the beginning of the class, now I'm going to clear this firearm, but I want you to know that no matter who, even if it's me, if I hand you a firearm and tell you don't worry, it's clear, you are not to believe me. You are to verify it for yourself. And I would stress that several times. And then if I had a student that wasn't paying attention, I'd test him like him and a gun to see. In fact, he would take my word for it that it was unloaded. And if he didn't do it, I would admire. Did you listen to what I was saying at the beginning of the class? You never take anyone's word that a weapon is clear. You assume it isn't always, no matter what.
Yes.
100%.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, one of the biggest passes
you have, frankly, and you know, and it's just so unnecessary. It's so tragic whenever it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the lack of education. And then again, you know what I'm saying, if you're taking a class, you know, and true enough, we do have some really bad instructors out there, you know what I mean? You know, the ones that are good, if you do your due diligence and check them out, pay attention to what they're saying. You know what I mean? Like I told my class when we did the close quarter engagement class, I told them, I said, listen, I know this stuff, but I don't know it all. You know what I'm saying? They all researched they did a little background check on me. I told them, I said, I didn't mind. That didn't bother me at all. You know what I mean? You want to make sure that you're investing in yourself in the right area. You know what I mean? You're not just spending your money. And there are instructors out there that are they're just taking people's money, man. Setting people up for fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
now,
let me throw something in there real quick, guys. Hey, Sarge, hold on. Let me throw something in there real quick. Everybody, listeners, listen. We have Sarge. Sarge, we love hearing from Sarge. Sarge he calls in every single show. Again, he has our number on speed dial, guys. But we also want to hear from everybody else. Sarge is like an unofficial, official member now. We want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, 100.
The rest of y'all listening.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 845-241-9979. Join the conversation. Let us know, what are your thoughts on gun safety? This is June is Firearm Safety Safety Awareness Month for us, for all the firearm owners out there, those of you. And let me not just say firearm owners. You don't have to be a firearm owner. Kia made this clear last week. You do not have to be a firearm owner to understand the importance of firearm safety. All right? Again, don't have to be a firearm owner to understand and know the importance of firearm safety. So, folks, give us a call, 845-241-9979, and share one of your best practices around firearm safety. And we here at Point Blank Radio would tell you if it's horrible or not. I'm just kidding. We're not going to tell you it's bad. We just want to know what's your best practices. Go ahead, y'all. I'm sorry. I just want to throw that out there because
one thing I want to say is that, you know, in honor of, you know, Firearm Safety Month, and I want to continue to do this as well, I have a class tomorrow with children. So we're going to do a live firearm safety class with some kids. I have some parents that have taken my classes, and they actually want me to teach their children, you know, firearms. And I will do that. But the first thing I told them is that we're going to do safety first, you know, because safety is always going to be, before we do any kind of live shooting or anything like that, we're going to do safety. So I am doing a safety class for kids tomorrow. And I think it's going to be so fun just to hear the kids and the questions that they ask and things like that. So I'm excited about that.
Absolutely.
So definitely, like I said last week, talk to your kids about firearm safety, whether you are a supporter or an advocate for guns or like guns or don't like guns. Teach your kids anyway because, you know, at least teach them safety because they're going to encounter someone in their life that may or may not be, you know, own firearms, and they may have questions about it. So you have to leave that door open for them to talk to you.
Yep. Yeah. That's good.
I got a daughter who is always been opposed. She's a liberal. I don't know how she got to be a liberal. I did everything I could to prevent her from being a liberal and a gun grabber. She's been one almost all of her life. She's an adult. But you know what? She's finally beginning to see the light now. She's looking at the crime. She lives in Marietta, Georgia, not too far from me. She sees what's going on in Atlanta. She's seeing ineffectual, mainly Democrat, lunatic mayors and governors who refuse to protect their population. I think she finally sees the light. So for Father's Day, she is going to take me to the range so I can instruct her in using a firearm. She plans to buy one and get a concealed carry permit.
Yes,
sir. So I am looking forward to this Friday to indoctrinate my daughter into the world of shooting and the Second Amendment. Finally.
Yes, sir. That's it. Love it.
but it took all of this turmoil to make her have an epiphany. But she's got it now, though. Hey, she's got it, and, man, she's eager now. I mean, she said, I can't wait to start learning this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you're no longer liberal after you get mugged or something. I think she didn't wait to get mugged, though.
Good. That's a good thing.
Well, that's good. At least she didn't wait.
Yeah. But better late than never, as they say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
No, that's definitely key. You know, again, change the narrative, control the narrative. And sometimes, you know, I have a couple friends that they ask me, hey, if they need a firearm, you know, for let's say shit hits the fan. I don't mean to curse, but you know that saying, right? Would them let them use one? And I'm like, you know, I was joking. I'm like, hell no, you can't come down here because blah, 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 blah. But the reality is, you know, we can't be like that, right? We gotta, if the goal is to get people understanding why we not just love firearms, but understand the importance of having one, which is a Second Amendment right. Hey, sometimes we gotta let them go through what they gotta go through and come to us and saying, hey, mom, dad, whatever, friend, brother, sister, I think it's time that I get on your level. So that's what you should let her know. You should say, congratulations, daughter, on getting on my level. That's what you tell her.
And look, if I said it to my daughter, that might be a fight. I wouldn't.
Well, you know, I mean, she was rather gracious to admit that she was wrong, and I decided not to crow too much in her face. But I said, I know eventually, when, because you got enough intelligence, more than enough native intelligence you got from me and your mother, to know what when reality slaps you in the face. And I think it has now.
Yeah.
She's seeing what's going on across this country. She realizes that the authorities are under no legal or even moral obligation, in many cases, the way they act, to protect you against criminals and crime. That is your responsibility. And I think we need to emphasize to every single person in this country, it's your responsibility in the final analysis to protect yourself. You hope you have a good police department that will do its job, and most of them definitely. I know these guys because I lived with them for decades. I know most of them want to get up in the morning, strap on their belt, and if they can, do something heroic. That's most of them, but the great majority of them. But I'm telling you right now, when seconds count, the police are minutes away at best. So you got to be ready to protect yourself.
And it's ironic that Sarge said that because remember, you guys, I get, since this is, again, June, it's Firearm Safety Awareness Month, I have the local police officers coming into my conceal and carry class and connecting with my students, which is, they're part of their community, and answering questions and things like that. And the one thing that the officers said was, hey, it's good that you're taking this class because, you know, our guns that we have are to protect us, not the citizens. So if you're calling the police because you're expecting the police to protect you in that way, it's just not what they're designed to do. They're normally reactive.
Right.
It's rare that a police officer comes in the middle of a crime happening. They come after the fact.
Yeah,
right.
Very true.
Yeah, police are sort of like armed historians, if you will.
Yeah. yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Sarge, what'd
so
you
true.
Say that what, Sarge?
I say, police, if you want to term them another way, that's not necessarily derogatory, but it is accurate. Police are more like armed historians than on-the-spot guardians.
Right,
yeah.
That's true. That's true.
They record what happened or what people say happened, and they present it through their chain of command.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, because it's very, like I said, it's
that's
very
it.
Rare that an officer comes in the middle of a crime happening. They're normally responding to a crime that already occurred. So.
Right. So,
yeah, but if you think about it, I mean, it's really unfair to expect the police are going to be able to protect you, given the a number of opportunities to victimize people and a number of people out there and the relatively small numbers of police given the size of the population. In local and state law enforcement agencies nationwide, there are less than 1 million sworn police officers for over 330 million people. Less. I'm talking about local
and there's a shortage right now. And there's a shortage right now.
And the shortage
people
is worse now because they're
quitting and they don't want – and the people do not want to go into law enforcement anymore because of the state of where we are now. So there's actually shortages in across the country of officers. So.
And it was a shortage before, frankly, when things were reasonably prestigious for police. Now police don't want to have – many people just don't want to have anything to do with this job. Many people who might be good candidates, and they were already, like I said, less than 1 million nationwide – local and state law enforcement officers for 330 million people in the United States. Think of all the opportunities for criminals to victimize people. How in the world can you expect the police officer to be around when a situation is in progress that threatens your life or your property? It's unreal to expect it.
Yeah.
And then now they're sick, they're on leave, they're not on the shift. You know, so you really got a third of that number at any one time, or less than a third, maybe a fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. Like I said, you know, I've always kind of, you know, growing up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I remember the police athletic league and things like that. You know, we had a lot of involvement, you know what I'm saying? We had the DARE program, you know what I mean, where, you know, the cops were a part of the school system and they were helping out, and you know, the kids, you know, you saw these faces every day, somehow, somewhere in the neighborhood. Yeah, you know, if you look at it today, yeah, we probably were overly policed, but we knew them. You know what I'm saying? You didn't hear about the stuff that you hear about today. Like, you just didn't hear about it. And I really feel like, and I can't speak about every area, but I can only speak about the areas that I've lived in. When they started removing the police from the school systems, when they started removing got rid of the police athletic league and the Pop Warner leagues, where officers of the community were involved with the children, when they start removing, you know what I'm saying, the after school programs, you know, that's where the problem began. And I, like I said, I can only speak about the areas I lived in, but with those areas I've lived in, I could see the beginning of the problem. Now, after 12 years of being here in Virginia, the manifestation of the problem is becoming real. It's just, it's everywhere now. Like, but no one ever wanted to address that was a problem. Why are you doing, why are you getting rid of what connects us? What will make us
right.
One? You know what I'm saying?
And that, so, and you're right, Eric, it's across the board. You're right.
Yeah.
It's in a lot of areas.
Muhammad Ali owed his career to a police athletic league officer named Joe Martin in Louisville, Kentucky, when his bicycle was stolen, and he went to the police to complain about it, crying, and the police officer, Martin, looked at him and said, well, you say you're going to go after him, find him, and beat him up. Do you know how to fight? And and he said, well, look, we got a boxing league here in the police. Why don't you come and sign up for it and see what you can learn? That's how he got his boxing career started.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. A lot of heavyweights, Riddick Bowe, Razor Ruddock, you know what I'm saying, from police athletic leagues, Roy Jones Jr., you know what I'm saying, that's how they got their start. Like, they took, you know, they take away the very thing that, and especially in our community, that was being effective, you know what I'm saying, and then now they're looking like, you know, they want to act like, oh, this is never, you know, it wasn't really a problem. That's not really a problem, or, you know, or black people just need to behave better, or wait a minute, what what are you talking about? You took away what was making us one, you know what I'm saying, and now all we know them for is whenever they show up to arrest somebody or drive around in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? You know what I'm saying? We don't know them. You know what I mean? You don't do that in other neighborhoods. So what
communal touch when it comes down to law enforcement in our community. You know, the same touch that the fire departments have within our community. I've always questioned, why don't we have that same embracement on both sides from police departments? You know, a fire department, becomes ingrained in a community. The firefighter becomes ingrained in that community. The kids get to know them because guess what? They go to schools, genuinely go to elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and everyone loves a firefighter. You know, you walk by a fire department and you're waving high, and it's not to say you don't have somebody tell me because they don't invoke love. I think it's beyond that. They're ingrained in the community. They do communal things, you know, and for a lot of them live in those community. I have had a firefighter that used to live up the street from me, and he was part of this community. You know, he moved around the corner, and he still is in this community. The police department, we have cops here in my local police department that's from the city, which is about 30 miles away. They don't care about this community. Yeah. And like you said, Sarge, I love the fact that you point out that, you know, there's a lot of firefighters, a lot of law enforcement that they do strap up and put their boots on every day to go out and do the right thing. They absolutely do. And it's always the few sprinkle in bad ones that are just, you know, that make it seem that, you know, media loves the bad, right? But I feel like we've lost that communal touch when it comes down to law enforcement. I used to see it on TV growing up, and I saw it a little bit in New York when I was a little bit younger, where you have a cop that knows the kids on the corner, and the kid would do something, like go steal a candy or something like that, and the cop would show up, and instead of the cop putting cuffs on the 16-year-old, the cop was like, yo, get in the back of the car. I'm taking you to your mother. But guess what? Right. The cop is going to go drop you off in front of mom's house. Hey, Ms. Johnson, listen, Jeremy, blah, 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 blah. And you know what it is? All right, thank you, officer, whatever. Jeremy, pull him by the ear, pull him in the house. That used to be how it used to be. You know, it's not like that anymore.
Let me tell you what has changed and what is really sad and tragic that has changed. I was just gotten off duty. I was still in uniform. I was going into my house. I heard two kids, I think about 13, one was 13, the other was 12, and the 13-year-old grabbed a big branch and whacked the 12-year-old upside the head with it, opened up a gash in his head. So I went after, I said, I was just going into my door, turn around, walk, and say, stop. I had to chase the kid a block, caught him, and, you know, I had to grab him because he's trying to get away. And as I was grabbing him, apparently one of the other people in the neighborhood went to his where he lived and told his mother that a police officer had apprehended her son. She comes running out the window demanding to know who had put their hands on her boy. And she was still irate after I explained to her, I just saw your son strike another boy on the head hard enough here. You see him standing over there with the blood going down his head? I witnessed your son do that. She was still irate as to why I had to put my hands on the boy, because I did have to scuffle him a little bit to get him under control. And she wanted to know why I put my hands. I said, okay, ma'am, look, I'm taking him down to the station. I'm turning him over to the juvenile officer. You can come down there and meet us there. Because there was no talking to her. She was just out of her mind, practically. I mean, I never would have, in normal times, like when I grew up, The first thing any woman would have said is, wait till they get through with you, boy, and I get my hands on you.
Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
It's like almost completely reversed.
Listen, if a cop was to ever bring me home, oh, my God, my mom is not even mad at a cop. My mom is, number one, I'm going to get a couple whoopings. I'm going to get my mom is Caribbean, so I come from a Caribbean background. Yeah. I was getting a whooping from my mom for embarrassing her. I was going to get a whooping from my mom for whatever reason that I got in trouble for. Then when my dad got home, I was getting a whooping. And I grew up in a household where my mom and dad weren't always together, but it doesn't matter. My mom can call my dad because regardless of whatever issues they had going on, they still believed in to hell with that co-parenting stuff. They believe that we are both parents of this kid. So I'm going to call you if I need you to discipline him and vice versa. And then don't let her tell any family members, oh, my gosh. And listen, it could be 3 months later. Don't let that cop come around and be like, hey, I'm just here to check in on Dwayne. Oh, my gosh. Yes, he's good now, officer, whatever. As soon as he walk away, she's going to be like, you see, Dwayne, you have that cop coming back to my house. Get the belt. What?
Yeah.
It's been good this whole time, but again, community, we've lost that.
It
kind of
just pointing out too, though, that you know, parents don't want their children held accountable by anybody else, and that's another disconnect of the community. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, the school system, the school board, the city council, they have some issues. They get me wrong. They're part of the problem too. But from house to house, that old saying that it takes a village to raise a child has completely disappeared over the last 20 years. Because
and you're right about that. You're definitely right about that.
Nobody wants their child to be disciplined by anybody else. But then on top of that, though, there are people who are in authority, whether it be teachers, instructors, principals, whatever the case may be, they don't want to hold our children accountable either. So that's another disconnect in the community.
They're afraid, though.
Yeah.
You know, they're afraid. Look at these teachers. You know, my sister said all the time.
I'm not
going
to say anything to that kid because all he's going to do is mess up. Listen, I had to physically show up every day for my two older boys while they were in high school. And the administrative assistant said to me, "I wish every parent at this school was like you, Mr. Davis." But that's how I was raised. I didn't like everything my father did. Trust what I tell you. I didn't like how he handled things, but I understand it today. You see what I'm saying? I respect
it. And think
today.
About it for a minute. And then when these same undisciplined youths who never got proper discipline when they're younger, particularly didn't have a father who was the best police officer there is for any young child. That's the best police officer you can find. An involved, loving father is the best police officer there is for a young child, especially a young boy growing up. When they get into trouble and commit crimes with guns, politicians will say, we need to take guns from people among whom are living in the places with the highest saturation of firearms ownership at all and among the lowest crime rates. In order to fix the problem that they have helped to get out of hand, you've got to disarm people who are the least likely to commit crimes with firearms.
Come on.
That's right.
It's madness.
Come on now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, hey,
I definitely agree with you because I remember growing up, I mean, we would get a whooping from the neighbor. Or anyone that saw us doing whatever, then they would take us around the corner, take us home, and then we would get a whooping from our home, and then we would get a whooping from the neighbor across the street if she saw us doing something.
Yep.
And, you know, so it was like no one wants you to, you know, it's like don't talk to my kid like that or don't tell my child what to do. And it's like, but what gets me, and this may sound very insensitive, it may sound very ugly, but I mean what I say. And that is, but yet, if something happens to your kid, you want the community to rally around you. You want the community to march for your child. You want the community to put on a T-shirt for your child. But we can't discipline your child. So I have a problem with that.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Like I said, you know, we are at a state now where we are living in a time where, in a time of universal deceit that we're living in, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, compliments to George Orwell. It really is. Telling the truth has become a revolutionary act these days, and those of us, like here on this show, we are becoming revolutionaries by simply telling the truth. You have a cretinous mayor, a literally imbecilic moron like Lori Lightfoot, who is literally blaming the problem in her city, an utter complete cretin of a moron, of a lunatic nutcase. I've never seen anything like these people, like de Blasio and her and all these other idiots. She literally is bringing the bomb on the fact that illegal guns can come into her city. Can you imagine this?
Yeah.
She literally said that the only way she can fix her problem in Chicago is not to allow police to, foot pursue criminals or, you know, take the normal actions police officers have been taking for decades with dealing with crime, going after suspects, making constitutional Terry stops, you know, stop and frisk where it's appropriate and proper. No. Get federal gun control to fix the problem that's out of control that lunatic idiot actually created, along with the state's attorney, Kim Fox. It's beyond belief.
Call him out, Sarge. Go ahead and call him on out, Sarge.
Oh,
I know, right? Hey, Sarge, I want you to. We're coming up on 9:30, right?
Yes,
Sarge, keep that same energy. Keep that same energy because we want it, right? Let's go ahead and close out the whole the safety part. So, folks, so far we've been talking about firearm safety, and I know we went down a rabbit hole because, again, we're passionate about what we talk about, folks. We're parents, we're all parents, we're all law-abiding citizens. We're responsible gun owners, right? So we get very passionate. And then we all want that old, good old field community back. We're very communal people. So that I'm going to challenge all those parents out there. Allow your kids to be part of a community. We want that. We don't want to call for the community when our kid is on a T-shirt, like Kia said. We don't want that because guess what? It's too late. It's too late for that kid to be embraced by our community. That's the wrong way for a kid to be embraced by our community. In exchange to that, allow your kids to be held accountable. I used to use the example, me and my wife used to talk about this all the time. If you're in Walmart, for some reason it's always Walmart, if you're in Walmart and your back is turned and your kid is throwing toys onto the ground and somebody walks over to your kid and say, hey, sweetie, stop doing that, and you turn around and you hear that, or your kid comes up to you and says, mommy, that lady just told me to stop doing that. Think about what your reaction would be. Your reaction dictates what type of community. Think about that, all right?
Absolutely.
And I want to switch gears here because, and Sarge, I definitely want you to stay on. I know we all want you to stay on for this one. We're going to switch gears, press break, switch gears real hard. I know Elliot and Kia definitely threw some stuff in the group chat for this one. Pistol braces.
The only reason
I want to bring this up, we got 30 minutes, and I know that we're going to end up going down some sort of rabbit hole with this one. And I know our listener is probably like, why the hell are these folks not talking about this stuff yet? So pistol braces. Before I toss it back to y'all, I want the listeners to understand what a pistol brace is, verbatim, right? What is a pistol brace? So a pistol brace, it was designed for people with disabilities that can't necessarily hold a firearm, right? And folks, correct me if I'm wrong, right? It was designed for the disabled soldiers or disabled shooters that wanted to create a stable platform. So the pistol brace was created to where it wrapped around their arm to give them a stable platform and allowed them to possibly shoot this firearm with one hand a lot more securely than not. And since it's been designed, it's taken a lot of different forms and been used a lot of different ways. But now the ATF has their own opinion on the pistol brace. So I'm tossing it over to you, Kia. I'm going to leave with you. What do you think about what's going on with pistol braces right now? I'm going to open it up. Open up the floodgates.
Well,
I'm going to let you leave.
First of all, I'm going to say what I feel about it, but I know Elliot, seriously, I know you were itching to get on this because you were like,
I know,
what?
That's why I wanted to go to you first.
Oh, you want me to go? Okay, no. That's why. Okay.
Elliot and Sarge is itching right now. That's why I was like, look,
okay,
I'm going to get my thing out. I want to hear you. I know they're itching.
That's why I'm sorry. So for me, you know, I saw the article and I read it. For me, at this point, I think they're going to do anything and everything they could possibly do to pick away at what you can use, what you cannot use, what's considered a handgun, what's not considered a handgun, what's considered, you know, I think it's just going to be just one little nick in the little armor of the Second Amendment rights. And I think, like I said, why do they care about the pistol brace? What is the problem? What is the issue?
Yeah.
And that's just how I personally feel about it. Like, how long have pistol braces been around? For how long
now? 2013.
You say forever?
2013.
Okay.
When they quietly launched.
Yeah. So you mean there's not been a problem up until now?
Yep.
Oh
boy.
Nah.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
Yo.
Worse than that, though. Go E. Go Sarge.
Worse than that, though, is that the ATF
the ATF a couple years back okayed the pistol braces, you know what I'm saying, for that reason, for the reason they were designed. They made sure and placed a statement stating that the braces were braces. They were not considered stocks. You see what I'm saying? So
yep.
Now, because they're trying to, you know what I'm saying, push the agenda of our leader, you know what I mean, they're now proposing that they're going to change the definition of a rifle. Like, in order to eliminate this one item, like, why? You know what I'm saying? We got issues like, you know what I'm saying, national debt. We have, you know, a pandemic we're trying to still come out of. And you're worried about...
We have veterans that can't get quality health care. We have people living on skid row. We have poverty. We have so many things that we could be focusing on.
Yeah. Well, look, folks, the way these bureaucrats reason, and it's simply what they do when they go so far as to twist the original intent of a law beyond all recognition. Because you got to remember, historically, the National Firearms Act of 1934, originally, when it was an original iteration, it lumped handguns in with fully automatic firearms. Now, the Roosevelt administration wanted to subject pistols and revolvers to the same kind of regulations and taxes that they were going to subject Tommy guns to. Congress wouldn't go along. Even them Democrats back then wouldn't go along with that. It was just a step too far. Now, once you understand that licensing of handguns to the point of prohibition was the original target, then you see the reason for their including short barrel rifles and shotguns. What's the point of banning handguns if any person can buy a rifle or shotgun and a hacksaw and make a functional pistol in 15 minutes from that rifle or shotgun? So the prohibition on short-barreled rifles and shotguns was passed in the hope of making handguns so heavily regulated as to be impossible for an ordinary person to get. Without that regulation, the restrictions on short-barrel rifles and shotguns became nonsensical. So here's what BATF, because that's what it was called, it, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, before it became ATF.
Yeah.
They did what bureaucrats do. They worked hard to keep and enlarge their reason for being, their rice bowl, and short-barreled rifles and shotguns, one of the main reasons. The definition of a rifle and shotgun were based on the idea of then being able to be fired from the shoulder. So putting a shoulder stock on a pistol, even though it made the pistol harder to conceal, was ruled to be illegal by these bureaucrats because the pistol had then become a functionally short-barrel rifle. So, but they still hope to make the citizenship ownership a handgun's rare. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Pete Shields. He was the president of outfit called Handgun Control. And this is back in 1976 when they were just getting started with this nonsense. They said, and here's what he admitted in an interview. The first problem is to slow down the number of handguns being produced and sold in this country. The second problem is to get handguns registered. The final problem is to make possession of all handguns and all handgun ammunition except for the military, police, licensed security guards, licensed sporting clubs, and licensed gun owners, totally legal. And that's what he gave an interview. That's what he gave an interview to the New Yorker magazine. But it didn't happen. Mm. So what they had to do was start looking around for ways to justify their existence and ways to crack down on gun owners. And whenever you had a usually Democrat-friendly, gun-grabbing set of politicians in office, a way to appeal to them to get it done. This is bureaucrats deciding to interpret the law for their own ends. And that's why they're picking on short-barreled rifles and pistol braces, because they're saying you can use them to fire them from the shoulder, so therefore they are short-barreled rifles subject to the National Firearms Act of 1934, along with licensing, taxing, and federal registration.
They spend so much energy on, you know what I'm saying, literally, like, that is just so unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? Like, but again, like you just pointed out, the whole agenda from that guy from 1976, you know what I'm saying, is the agenda really is that they only want law enforcement and military to have firearms. That's really the agenda.
But here's what's really bad. Here's what here's what the ATF wrote in a letter, an open letter on the redesign of stabilizing braces. And I'm quoting, because I got it right in front of me, and I'm going to quote from them. This is what it says.
Yeah.
The pistol stabilizing brace was neither, quote, designed, unquote, nor proved to be used as a shoulder stock, and therefore use as a shoulder stock constitutes a, quote, redesign, unquote, of the device because the possessor has changed the very function of the item. Any individual letter stating otherwise, remember they had sent out letters before this saying they were perfectly legal, but any individual letter stating otherwise are contrary to the plain language of the National Firearms Act, misapplied federal law, and are hereby revoked. And then they went on to say, any person who intends to use a handgun stabilizing brace as a shoulder stock or a pistol having a parentheses, having a rifle barrel under 16 inches in length or a smoothbore firearm with a barrel under 18 inches in length, in parentheses, must first file an ATF Form 1 and pay the applicable tax, as a resulting firearm will be subject to all provisions of the National Firearms Act. There you go.
Yeah.
They're just wishing, wherever the wind blows, they just arbitrarily redesign and redesign regulations at will. That's tyranny.
Yes, sir.
So let me throw something out there, right? Because I'm a regular guy, right, folks? Y'all are the gun folks. I'm a regular guy, and I'm just going to go from what I see on TV. And what I see on TV is real. That's real news. YouTube and all that stuff, the news is real. Fox, CNN, it's all real news. And what, losing, I'm playing devil's advocate. Pistol braces make the gun shoot faster. What do you tell me? If I come to you,
are you serious?
Because these are things that I've heard.
How do you like that?
This is something I've heard, right? You know, and without saying what we want to say for real with the whole, man, no, that can't be true. You know, like, how would you, I'm a new student in your class. You know, our listeners are new, and some of them, like, they don't understand what we're talking about. So the things that I'm hearing as a new gun owner is pistol brace make the gun shoot faster. Pistol braces make the gun a lot more accurate. So pistol braces makes the gun easier to conceal because that's what all the bad guys use. What do you tell me as a new gun owner that's like, I don't want an assault rifle in my home with that brace thing? What do you tell me?
How easy is a Glock 17 to conceal? Is it more easy to conceal or less easy to conceal than an AR-15 with a 7.5-inch barrel and a pistol brace?
Right. Okay.
Which one is a handgun and which one is a pistol?
Right.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's just so easy to counter them. I mean, why don't you give me something hard to do, like falling off a log?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go from what the news tell me is that all the mass shootings,
apparently, when it comes to firearms.
Okay.
It's incapable. I mean, no matter what kind of brace you put on an AR-15, it is harder to conceal than is a handgun. What if you got an AR-15
yeah,
that's chambered in 9mm, and you've got a pistol brace on it, and you try to conceal it versus a conventional handgun? Which one is easier to conceal? Which one is not subject to the National Firearms Act?
Is that they're so concerned about the pistol brace being attached to an AR and blah, 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 blah. But now we have that round, the FN, the 5.7, right? That's pretty much an AR-style round in a legitimate handgun, right?
Yeah. It's a bottleneck round. It's capable of high velocity and
exactly.
A 7.63 Tokarev or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, I just want to kind of, put that out there because, we do have some listeners that are very new to firearms, and they're probably, a lot of them, they're going to go off of what they're told. An AR is an assault rifle. It is not an assault rifle at all. That is not what AR stands for. And all the media outlets have changed the definition of AR. I'm going to challenge you listeners to look up the definition of AR, and it's taking you to a site that ends with Fox, CNN, .org, any of those things. Don't go to that site. They've changed the definition.
Well, all if right? you don't see the words in there somewhere, capable of selective fire, it ain't an assault rifle.
There you go. Thank you.
That's
Thank
right.
you. That,
yeah.
That's the best way to
Sorry, if it doesn't fire an intermediate cartridge,
y'all.
And if it's not using an intermediate centerfire rifle cartridge, and it's not capable of, it is not capable of selective fire, it's not an assault rifle. Because that's what an
that's
assault
right.
rifle is.
That's
well,
right.
you know, Sarge, Elliot, Kia, they're not trying to ban. They're not trying to ban braces. All they want you to do is do the tax. So why don't you guys? Why are you not okay with doing the taxes? Why is that not okay? Why are you afraid to
register? They know the average Joe. They know the average Joe is not going to want to pay. Is not going to or can't actually pay a $200 tax stamp. For something that's not really a short barrel rifle, you get what I'm saying? Most people aren't going to want to pay that because it's not illegal. But they're doing everything they can to make it to try to make it illegal. You get what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. There are things that you know there are other braces. I don't know why they keep choosing the SB tactical braces, but there are other stabilizers
yeah.
that you can place on your AR pistol. You know what I'm saying? And they'll be okay with. There are even
yeah.
braces that stabilizers that SB Tactical sell that they don't have a problem with. But for whatever reason, they have a huge problem with the, you know what I'm saying, I believe it's the SBA4 and the SBA3. They have a problem with
yeah.
those stabilizers. You know what I'm saying? But I could put the you know, a stabilizer made from anybody else that looks like the little fin, you know what I'm saying? And still
yeah,
shoulder
yeah.
that weapon. But they're not going after that one. They're going after SB Tactical for whatever reason. So, but again, you know what I'm saying? The whole issue, the underlining issue is that there are a certain group of people, whether it be black or white, I'm thinking more of the people that are, you know what I'm saying, mid-class, lower class, they're thinking about, we don't want y'all armed. So we're going to find ways to make you illegal. We're going to cause problems. We're going to make bigger issues for you. Now, you know what I'm saying? I'm here to tell y'all, you know what I mean? There are things that you can purchase that you know what I'm saying? If you have an SB tactical brace, that you still can keep your AR pistol. But let's, you know what I'm saying? If my biggest thing is we cannot let them keep doing what they're doing. We have to, you know what I'm saying, get on the ATF web, make a comment about this proposed rule. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't be disrespectful, but we need to say something, people. You know what I'm saying? Speak out. Go on the website. I'm going to do my best to put a link on my Facebook page and my 610 Tactical page that you can possibly go ahead and click on so that you can go ahead and leave a comment of why this is not right and they need to leave this issue alone.
Right.
How many people turned in their bump stocks when the bump stock ban was enacted to the ATF? I got news for you. It was less than a few hundred.
14.
There were, I think, at the last check, there were several hundred thousand that were sold. Nobody turned them
right.
in.
Right.
People just decided not to comply. That either destroyed them or kept them or didn't turn them in. One of the three. Because they're still out there somewhere if they're not reduced to melting plastic.
Yo, and here's yeah. another thing. Why, and I'm not giving any suggestions to the ATF, but how come they're not having a problem with binary triggers? You see what I'm saying? We talk about.
Don't give
them
no ideas. I got three AR-15s
right?
with binary triggers in them.
Which is what I'm saying,
come
though.
On.
Because
come on.
This shows you how simple-minded they are. Because they're going after something that's not cosmetic. Hear what I'm telling you, people. The brace does not make your firearm more or less lethal. It doesn't do anything. It's other than it was what it was used created for as a stabilizer to help. You know what I'm saying? A veteran that was disabled be able to shoot with one arm. That,
yes.
That's all it was designed for. And now it's popular. You know why it's popular? Because it looks good. Not because it makes you shoot better. It doesn't make your rifle shoot any better.
Oh, and remember,
wow.
you can adjust it for length of pull. You can adjust
yeah.
it for length of pull.
Yeah. Okay.
It's got a 5-position length of pearl adjustment on it, so you can get the right length for your shooting style and physique.
Right.
Or the clothing you're wearing.
Absolutely. But that these are things, these are all cosmetic things. These are, you know, accessories, right? A red dot, right? Front sight.
Yeah.
Come
sure.
on, right? What type of pistol grip you want? It's the same thing. But
you know what, you know, if I was to take off the tactical brace, put a piece of foam rubber over the buffer tube, then I could use that pretty effectively as a cheek rest in order to still aim effectively down the sight.
100%. Yo, matter of fact, I could
even without the brace.
For real, I wouldn't even put anything. I could still do it with just the tube. Just the tube. Nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got to admit, though, the brace does make it better, but, I mean, I could still do the same thing without it.
I just make it, it looks better, not for real, honestly, because it's still very uncomfortable. It doesn't have a cheek rest.
Well, you know, I mean, AR-15 tube, but, you know, like, so you can put foam around it. It's pretty comfortable then. But even without the foam around it, I mean, it's round and it's smooth.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, if you get it tight against your cheek and you brace it pretty good, I mean, the recoil of a 5.56 is negligible, especially using a nice heavy buffer and a heavy recoil spring.
Right.
Yeah.
And you put the right right amount of gassing in the gas system, you can have a nice, sweet shooting weapon. I mean, you might have to work with it to make sure it reliably extracts and ejects, but it can be done. I mean, I've done it plenty of times. Once you get the right balance, boom, it's just, hey, y'all even feel the recoil.
And the point of,
right.
the point of us even talking about this stuff, you guys, if you're listening, the point of
yep.
all of this is just do your homework. Investigate,
absolutely.
Look things up, research, and find out for your own self. Because even if you can just hear us, you know, hear everybody talking, you see that what they're saying, what's being fed to the masses, is not necessarily true. So it's like, hey,
yeah.
do your own research. Look up what AR stands for. You know, don't just take someone's word for it. And by the way, there's no
yep.
such thing as the AR-14. I don't think. Okay?
I
so,
got
you know, you
got
to make
I
sure.
I went Palmetto Arms and got a lower receiver.
Oh, God. There you go.
I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's one of my favorite guns. It makes fun of Joe Biden. I got an AR-14.
So, you know, it's just, you know, just do your
it's
research.
$47 for a lower receiver, stripped. And I just got that, and I made it into a AR-14. And I made it to a pistol AR-14 on top of it.
Right.
I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said I'm sorry.
I want to echo
so
off of what Terry was saying, though.
Like
folks.
Unicorn.
So we have 8 minutes left, and we talked about some really cool things. I definitely want to echo off of what Kia just you know, said. Just stay informed. Stay informed. The more you're informed, the more you continue to become a responsible gun owner. And it's not just staying informed to fight the fight. That's what we want you to do. We want you to do your homework. Don't let people make rulings for you. Do your homework. And if us as a people decide that, you know what, maybe we don't like the braces, then we would have decided that as a people. But to allow the powers that be right now tell you, hey, this is not good for you because, and we just say, okay, without doing our own research, we can't do that. We can't afford to do that.
Yeah, not our legislature, bureaucrats.
Exactly.
Right.
We have 7 minutes left, and I know you said, you know, let's go ahead and close out on some, you know, doubling back to safety, you know, and again, like Kia said, being informed to me ties back to safety as well, because what does that let me know? Let's say they do ban pistol braces tomorrow. What does that mean the day after? I could be possibly a felon, and here I am at the range shooting my cool gun, and because I'm not paying attention, I'm not focused on the law changing and what's coming down the pipeline with firearms because I just turned a blind eye. I'm at a range. Law enforcement's next to me shooting me to say, hey, Dwayne, what kind of gun is that? Oh, this is a blah, 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 blah. Is that a brace? Hell yeah, this is a brace. Next thing you know, I'm a felon. So, again, it's not always about the gun going bang when it comes down to knowing and being responsible about firearms. Now, I'm going to go ahead and, I mean, Do y'all want to close out with the four safety rules?
Or oh, yeah, I got a really good safety rule for you.
Oh, guys, go ahead, Sergeant. I'm afraid of Sergeant Safety Rules.
I'm afraid of Sergeant Safety Rules. Go ahead.
I'll try to make it real quick, and I think it's really relevant. I think we should have firearm safety in public schools. You know where I got my first formal firearm safety training? In Chicago Vocational School High School in 1967. We had an ROTC there, and in our armory at ROTC, we had 48 M1 rifles, two Browning automatic rifles, four M1 carbines, two 45 caliber pistols, and one M3 submachine gun in our armory in Chicago Vocational High School, and there were similar armories throughout the high schools in Chicago, if you can believe that. And we were taught with diligence by our ROTC instructors firearm safety and to never horseplay with these military World War II Saving Private Ryan firearms, and none of them were ever involved in any incidents.
That should tell you something.
And for that, I'll say hats off to you, Kia, with what you're doing with those kids. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm creating a program like that here on the Richmond side, and I know E definitely spoke about it before. I do believe that before we go out there and we say, hey, I want my kid to learn how to shoot, yeah, Kia, you hit him with a perfect question. That's cool. I don't mind teaching him how to shoot, but before you touch that gun, we need to learn these safety rules, period. As an adult, you need to learn the safety rules. But as a kid, there's difference in safety rules. It's not just about pointing the gun in a safe direction. It's not or what we learn, the four safety rules, right, when it comes down to handling a firearm. When it comes down to a kid, the safety rules changes a little bit. It starts with, if I'm not around and you see a gun on the floor, what are you doing with that gun? Are you picking it up and you bring it to me? Or are you coming, or are you going to your big sister who happens to be just 3 years older than you and you're 9 and she's what, every 3 years older is, what's that, 12 or something like that? No, no, she's 12. Yep, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
You know, are you a kid going to another kid and saying, hey, bigger brother, bigger sister, there's a gun on the floor, can you get it? Or are you bypassing that kid and grabbing the closest adult? Those are the things that we need to make sure that our kids know. It's not always about the gun going bang in proper direction and all the rest of that stuff. There's a process before that. I want to say, I know we got 3 minutes. I want to say, folks, listeners, right now we all want to show off our new guns. I love showing off my guns. I know E, I know Kia. I don't even want to talk about your armory. I would love to see what that looks like. Folks, make sure that when you show off that new gun, clear it first. Clear it.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the magazine. Get rid of the source. Kick that one out of the chamber. Lock it back. Physically and visually inspect it. And then hand it over to the person that you're showing it off to. The person that's being the one that gets to touch that rifle for the first time. When you go to your friend's house and they want to show you their gun, guess what? There's a little ghost that like to go around and put ammo in guns, y'all. That's how I act. So just because Elliot or Kia or Sarge, and I can say I trust Elliot, and I can say I trust Kia, and Sarge, I can say I trust you. But when they give me a gun, you best believe, I don't care. I don't care if they say, well, Dwayne, I don't trust you that much. I'm going to go ahead and visually do your same process you did. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Take the extra steps. We have a kid that is paralyzed because they did not take the extra steps. The gun don't go bang on its own. It needs to be initiated. And that's all I have to say. Folks, we got 2 minutes. What do you want to leave our listeners with, y'all?
Well, can you imagine a clearer day if high schools did what they used to do routinely with no incidents? They had all these military firearms that won World War II. They were right there in most of the public high school armories in Chicago, and they taught us firearm safety with no incidents. No one was ever shot, wounded, or killed with any of those military weapons, like I said, you saw on Saving Private Ryan. Can you imagine what they do? Can you imagine the outrage if that was tried again today? But back then, it was not considered unusual. It was education.
Yeah.
Well,
times have changed.
We have about 10 seconds left. We definitely love when you come on our show, Sarge. Kia, it's always a pleasure. E, always a pleasure.
No doubt.
Listeners,
absolutely.
Always a pleasure. Happy birthday again, E. And Kia, you are the most awesome.
Happy birthday!
I was waiting for it. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
happy birthday, E. And Kia, keep doing what you're doing. Kia, I'm very proud to say that I know you and everything. I'm being a fan right now. So, Kia, I'm very proud of you.
Oh, here you go. Thank you, Dwayne.
Oh, no, that's it. You know, I'm going to start being gangster. You know what, Kia? You just keep doing your thing, girl. Yeah.
No, Elliot said we're too soft. He said we're too soft, so we got to cut it out.
I'm sorry.
Too much.
Y'all have a good night. Thank you so much for joining Point Blank Radio. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to talk about prepping next week, right, Elliot?
Yes. Let's talk about some prepping, y'all. Let's definitely talk about prepping.
We're talking about prepping next week. Get ready.
All right.
Be ready so you don't have to get ready.
That's right.
Have a good night.
So you don't have to get ready. All right, now.
That's right. Good night.